It's my roster today, you know, so I'll be freer next week. When I face life's battles sometimes, things come up in my life that could be difficult, it could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be physical health or something like that, that or my children or something, and the battles come up in my life. There's one place that I always use. I mean, it's like my ace card. Looks as if I'm threatened and almost near annihilation. I pull out this thing. It's Psalm 27. Let's read it. Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? You see, fear comes to me and I'm fidgety. And I woke up in the morning, my mind is running. What are you going to do with this? How are you going to get this? Can you see some alarming symptoms in my body? I pull out this psalm as my sometime last resort. That starts sending waves of fear, scurrying for cover. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Then it went down deep. Next verse. It said, if when the wicked, the devil came against me to eat up my flesh. See, I use for sickness a lot. The purpose of that cancer is to eat up your flesh. Huh? My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. I love to see this when things are raging around me. And I pull out my Bible around 3 o'clock in the night. And I say, they stumbled and fell. My victory is a past tense already. They stumbled. They're not going to stumble. They stumbled and they fell. Praise God. I used to say this. Maybe you never heard me say that. I don't like live match. I don't watch live match. Particularly when Nigeria is playing. I don't like live match because I never know what eagle will do. And eagle usually turn to turkey sometimes. My wife, she has the nerves to watch them. She's patriotic. She watched Nigeria and Togo. You think they will beat Togo? And they may beat Togo, and Togo may beat them. But when they finish, they say, Nigeria 4, Togo 2. I know NTA will repeat the match. See, that's when I watch. I know who won. I hate dice. I hate playing Ludo. My wife always beats me. I don't like game of chance. I want to know I'm the winner before we start. And there was this thing that my wife has. I don't think it's a spirit. When I throw the dice, I get 2 and 1. When she throws, she gets 5 and 6. I don't play anymore. We'll try to give one of these days. Maybe chance will change. I sit down and watch Nigeria and Togo. Where every move, I know they got 2, Nigeria got 4. This verse told me the enemy stumbled and fell. So what I'm facing now is a rematch. Whatever you are facing now is a rematch. He has overcome the world already. Praise God, somebody. Let's keep reading. What is he next? He said, though an army may encamp against me, more than one wicked now, my eyes shall not fear. The world may rise against me. In this I will be confident. Oh, no, I stopped there. What's this that I'm going to be confident in? This is the key. Look at next verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He said, hey, I can do all that because my confidence is in this. I'm going to get to God. Look at next verse. I love this one. This is where I stop usually. For in the time of trouble, what will he do? He shall hide me. Have you been there before? One guy, you are fighting outside. You are small. He's chasing you. And then you run past your gates. And your dad is outside. What's in the car? You know what you do next? You get out. You stop. Say, Mabo. Have you been there before? Mabo. The guy will just turn around. He gets you. I mean, it's your father's compound. He can't get you there. I mean, tell yourself, I'm in his pavilion. He that dwelleth in the shall abide under the shadow. But there's something that I have to do in that verse. It's verse 1. The Lord, give us verse 1. The Lord is my light. I must be well assured of my salvation. Are you hearing me? That's where I stop talking about the robe you are wearing. They can't stop you at the gate because you have the robe. You have the robe. I'm remembering that second thief beside Jesus. He was the first one to get the blood to wash his sins away. He was the first guy that ever entered the kingdom like that. And he was a thief, a crook to the end. Are you hearing me? No good thing. I mean, he's dying for thievery. It's an old English word for stealing. And can you just imagine this crook was hanging on the cross and said, Lord, remember me. The Lord said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That's a crook. Can you imagine? Word was over, his spirits went toward Jesus and they were going toward the good place. And you know who are the good here? People like Isaiah, they have very serious record. And he was coming. Angels were watching them. And then here came this thief. He had no record that's any spiritual. He got toward the gate. The angel said, hey, what are you doing here? You know his answer? He invited me. Who? Jesus. Yes, you know. So, I want to be very sure that I'm saved. I have salvation. And this is the key we talked about last week. When I finished last week, the Lord said something to me. He said, you need to clarify this thing well so that you can be sure of the salvation. Let's go to Romans 10, verse 9. Hallelujah. That if you confess with your mouth, who? The Lord Jesus. And believe where? In your heart. That God has raised him from the dead. What will happen to you? What a great almighty formula. This one now, not quadratic equation, but heavenly victory. If you confess, Toba Fieno Rejewo, Jesu Lolua, and believe where? Not in your upper, but in your heart. That God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can take it bank assured, you'll be saved. Like 2 plus 2 equals 4. Why? Look at verse 10. It says, for with the heart, one believes and is made righteous. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Now, let's go back to verse 9. When we finished last Sunday, you know, usually this is what I do. When I finish service like this, I look at that service in the light of God. In the light of where you are right now. And I ask myself, Lord, is that enough? So we, sometimes we say something else. Like Sunday, the last Sunday, in the first service, I'd planned to do something to say. And then Saturday night, the Lord said, don't say that. Tomorrow, I want you to say that. I said, oh, all right, no problem. I'm available. And I came to service, and I said all that. And I looked up. There was somebody I knew. I needed to hear exactly what I just said. And I didn't know how it got. It shouldn't have been the service. And it was in the service. See, God will arrest a whole service for you because he loves you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Because he cares about you. So let's talk about this. The Lord said to me, he said, I want my people to have clear belief. Because if you are confused in your believing, it'll be confused in living. Let's look at chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Saying the same thing we just read. Verse 1. Let's just read it. Give us in a very clear, okay, this is good. Moreover, okay, give us an NLT so we can enjoy. Take a look. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcome it then, as you stand firm in it. Next verse. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message. I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. So, King James, what does NKJV says? That your believing is in vain. Give us, unless you believe, empty belief. So, what do we believe when we get saved? Romans 10, verse 9 again. What do we believe? Now, listen to this, everybody. This is important. I believe that I met one boy years ago in Ramachwari. He came to church. He was around. So I said, are you born again? He said, yes. I said, what happened to you? How do you know you are born again? He said, they call us forward. They pray for us and sent us somewhere. And we came back and they said we are saved. I said, huh? So? Have you seen pastors? Now, I'm not against anybody. I'm not against anybody. They were preaching something else. Then toward the end, they said, if you want to come to Christ, if you want to register your name in heaven, say this after me. You might as well say, tinkle, tinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. That's not enough. You know, that's why in our church, when you come to church for the first time, we take you up there and explain the promise of salvation to you. Pastor, I never came there because you didn't grow up as a first timer. But the issue is this. You can just, what are you believing? What are you believing that actually will seal your salvation so you can face whatever is coming against you? You believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That must be clear. You believe in resurrection. You believe that God raised Christ from the dead. Then God asked me a question last Sunday. He said, if you are going to believe, that's faith, right? And he said, how does faith come? Faith back on by hearing. He said, did you ever show them how Christ rose from the dead? He said, let's go and do it. So he said, go. Luke 24, let's go there. So we know we have tangible belief. So we are saved. Luke 24. Have you ever noticed in your Bible, particularly in the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have you noticed that? They will talk about Jesus, but toward the end, they will slow down. For instance, in Matthew, from 26 Matthew, 27, 28, they took the time and focused on Jesus' death and rising from the dead. You go to Mark, from Mark 14, 15, 16, they devoted 3 chapters. You go to Luke, you see the same thing. You go to John, because that's the cross of our salvation. I believe God is good, that will save you. I believe that God loves me. That will save you. What you believe is that God raised Christ from the dead. Pastor, why is that so important? Because God says so. It's important. So you have to believe I'm raised from the dead. Luke 24, are we there? Hallelujah. Can I be honest with you? Anybody look up here? Pastor, I love you preach well, oh. You really, can I be honest with you? Preaching is a burden for me. The day I hear God say, don't preach anymore, I'll be dancing. Pastor, you know what? Preaching is serious. Why? I'm speaking for God. Pastor, how many of you hate mathematics? Be honest, you hate mathematics. It's never the fault of math. It's the fault of the teacher who taught you. Have you ever? You better pass mathematics or else you're not going anywhere. Don't start like that. Make it easier. I was telling my wife yesterday, I was watching a woman who became an atheist because her pastor messed up. That's hanging on my head as a pastor. That I have to deliver. Some people they like preaching. They like to talk. But speaking for God. So I wonder, why should I come Sunday morning and be discussing resurrection? Kilo coming. And they can jump in. I'm alive. But he said, that's what will get you saved. That's where you maintain your salvation. That somebody died and he rose again. Let's go to Luke 24. Are you there? Look at verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, let's back off to make it clearer for us. Let's go to chapter 23 so that we can really link very well. Look at verse 44. This is on the cross. 23:44. Can you look up, everybody? Now, this is on the cross. About the sixth hour, that's around 12 noon. And there was darkness over all the earth. Now, Christ was crucified around 9 a.m. in the morning. and was hanging there. And then something transpired. By around 12, the whole planet was covered with darkness. Wow. This is something of a cosmic proportion. It's a global effect. Darkness over all the earth for 3 hours. Next verse. Then the sun was darkened. I mean, it's like a kind of a veil just wrapped around the sun and shut it down for 3 hours. Call it lunar eclipse or solar eclipse or whatever you want to call it. And then secondly, the veil of the temple was torn in two. That veil of the temple is as thick as this. And it covers the holy from the most holy. And it's about beyond, it's about 90 feet tall, as I was told, 90 feet tall. And that moment when that darkness covered the earth, when it ended by 3 p.m., that cloth, an unseen hand, with an unseen sword, tear it from top there to the bottom. So it's not done by man, it's done by God. If it's a man, we start from here up. Am I right? Are you here, everybody? Next verse. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice after that 3 hours, he screamed, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." Having said this, he dropped his head and breathed his last. Wonder of all wonders, God dying. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became a human being. And the Word died. Death can't kill him. He surrendered to death. Why? That he might taste death for every one of us. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? He didn't have to die. That's what Hebrews said. Let's look at Hebrews. We'll come back here, verse 46. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 14. Take a look at this. Quickly. Give it to me in NLT. Make it faster. Thank you. NLT, Hebrews 2, 14. I know I'm rushing you guys. Bear with me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood. The Son, Jesus, also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. So we know the scenario now. He died for one reason, to break the power of the devil. So Satan's power is broken. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Satan doesn't have that kind of huge power anymore. Jesus' death broke his power. Don't let anybody deceive you. One evangelist or one pastor or one babalawo. No. Satan's power is broken. You know why it's tormenting us? Because we don't know it. Knowledge of the truth. Look at next verse. And that he might what? And only in this way could he set free all who have their lives, all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So when he hung on that cross, when he screamed, my father, something happened. Death, devil's power was broken. Let's go back there. Where did we stop? 24 verse what? 45? Is that so? Let's get back there quickly. 27, all right, thank you. Luke 24, okay, he breathed his last. Next verse. And so when the centurion, a soldier, saw what had happened, he glorified God. He saw the darkness, he heard about the temple torn, and he saw, certainly, there was a righteous man. Let's keep reading. So, and the whole crowd who came together to that site, saying what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. See, they were mocking him before. But when they saw that happen, just like leaving the place one by one. Wow. We have committed unpardonable sin. We've killed the Son of God. We've messed up. Wow. Darkness covered the whole earth. All the devil's power showed up there. Somebody said, R.W. Samak said, all the demons left wherever they are to congregate at that Calvary that day. Let's keep reading. But all his acquaintances, all his friends, families, and the woman who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance. At this moment, you can't come near. He's paying the price, watching these things. Let's keep reading. Now behold, There was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. Next verse. And he had not consented to their decision and did, killing Jesus. From Arimathea, city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. Next verse. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Oh, let's bury him. Let's bury God, the Son of God. Let's go on. Then he took it down. See that one? He took it down, his body, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was even out of the rock where no one had ever been laid before. Bible said, as I said, he was buried with the rich in his death. Let's go on. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Next verse. And the woman who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned, prepared spices and fragrant oil, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So when Jesus died, they put him in the grave. And women usually come back 3 days later to prepare the body to see that it's smelling good till the Now, Sabbath, they rested. Now, 24 verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, 5, 4, we don't know, 6, those women, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. They were not coming to see Jesus rising. They saw him come and finish their job. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now don't think they don't bury like the way we bury now. You know, we bury now, we dig ground and put it there. They bury in holes. They will get rocks like this. Then they will make holes into the rock, onto the hill or cave. Then they will lay different place where people can be buried. Then they get a big stone and then cover it with it. Giant stone that will roll there. And then they go there around 4 o'clock or 4 or 5 or 6. They found the stone roll away. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now wait, what I want to address today is that don't think that Christ rose and his spirit lives on. He didn't rise like that. No, he rose bodily. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? His body. They couldn't find the body. People can die. You can see their spirit somewhere. They say, Morimbi, come. No. This is not in the enemy. His body physically rose. I hope you are listening. This is where your salvation is. Next verse. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Imagine you are in a hole. You are looking for the dead. And then, so these two people, and they are shining. You know, have you ever been there before? When governor is in one place, you see siren outside. Am I right? Next verse. Then as they were afraid, this woman, and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, those signing men said, why do you seek the living? Why do you seek the living? Where? See, sometimes angels don't understand us. We are human beings. We don't have that kind of sense. See, we human beings, we look at events one by one. The angel said, you don't find the living among the dead. Let's keep reading. He said, he's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Go on. Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, do what? Rise again. Tell somebody beside you, my salvation is secure. Jesus rose from the dead. One more time. My salvation is secure. Jesus rose from the dead. Louder. My salvation is secure. Jesus rose from the dead. Can you clap your hands for Jesus on the throne? Muhammad died. His body is still at Medina. And the cave and the tomb was there. Buddha died. Never rose from the dead. His body is in that tomb over there, covered up with number on it, Buddha. But Jesus died. That's why he borrowed the tomb. It's not forever. Death is the worst, highest enemy of mankind. Jesus turned death into a door. Hallelujah. He passed through it, inside it, and he came out through it, and alive forevermore. Praise God, somebody. So we believers, don't have to fear death. Somebody had gone through it. Have you ever been to Egypt before? Travel there if you have money. You will see pyramids. Giant thing built for kings, pharaohs. They want to give them a home for their eternal rests. Are you hearing me? I heard of a graveyard in Lagos where they put AC. Huh? Kalumbai Sizara. We were laughing, was it on Friday? My wife and I were, you know, that this boy was dying. And then they came and said, which song will you like to be sung at your funeral? He said, why are you asking me? I will not be there. You choose what you like. Next verse, quickly, let's run. Our time is far spent. All right. Then they returned from the tomb, told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Guess what happened? Look at next verse. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. What happened next? And their words seemed to them like, and they did not believe them. Why? Because nobody had ever risen like that before. Huh? Apostles, they were not expecting Christ to rise from the dead. He's dead. Let's keep reading. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves and he departed. What was he doing? Marveling to himself at what had happened. Do you know that it's only death that medical science has not overcome yet? When an organism dies, we can't bring it back to life. When somebody dies, you can't bring him back to life. It's a stated fact. In medicine, science, am I right? Death is the final thing. You can't do anything about it. So, if Jesus did something about the ultimate enemy, what about our small enemies? Think about it. When someone comes to me and said, I'll take you to America. I have a house for you in America. I'm going to get you a car in America. I'm going to get you a steady job, pastor. If you're a pastor. And then, listen. If he could do that, then he says to me, let's go to Lagos. And I say, let's go. And he said, I don't have any money on me. Can you raise me to Lagos? Wait, I will say, are you all right? If you could take me to America, and then we are going to Lagos, oh, lowo, lowo, you can't cover. Let's go to Sabo. Let's go to Toku. They change the dollars, I beg you. Now wait, if Christ rose from the dead, ultimate enemy, whatever you're facing in life, I cannot handle for you. So stop thinking like, oh, what will happen to me? The greatest enemy of mankind, he defeated it. What about your neighbor? What about your stuff? What about sickness? What about disease? Can you lift your hands to Jesus? Ijakbari, Ogun, Satan, Olubala, Jagun. Don't worry, don't worry. Ore ayo lao maka hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Don't trust in me. I can't save you. You know, all our pastors say, anointing, anointing, anointing. Everyone say, Jesus, Jesus. But bad devil, he can't stand beside Jesus. To the Muslim, nonsense before Jesus. Bobwe or doe, bobo ibawa. Whatever. My time is up. Let's stop. Let's read some two or three more verses before we leave here. Now let's. I must not leave this one. If there's anything I'm looking forward to be, there's a meeting I wish I could be in the Bible. This is the meeting I want to be. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. After they are disappointed, they are doing what's going on. And these two, and they talk together of all these things which had happened. Now follow. We want to see how Jesus appears to people now. So it was while they conversed, these two of them, that Jesus himself now raised from the dead, drew near and went with them. Tell somebody beside you, Christ is always going with you. You don't notice, always going with you. Before, he had to come from here to there. Before, he had to sit down. Now, he can be everywhere at the same time. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? He drew near and went with them. While they were going, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Before, he couldn't do that before he died. Now, after death, now, he can be walking along with you. I think it's your cousin. And they were walking together. Now, wait. Who was walking with them? I'm not hearing your voice. Jesus, let's go on. And he said to them, what kind of discussion, conversation are you having one another as you walk on our side? Now Jesus was walking with them. This is their point of discussion. And he said, gentlemen, he said, what are you discussing? If it were me, are you running? I let me in Jesus. Scream now. Maybe somebody, I've seen them on the TV, who want to be a millionaire. And they get 1 million and they start screaming, hello, 1 million. Hello, 1 million. Kuraka. Ah, I got 1 million. Before you leave the auditorium, the money is finished. Let's go on. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? This is interesting, talking to Jesus like that. And I love Jesus too. He just drew along with them. Look at what he said. I said to him, what things? Say, Emma, gossip me. What things? What's going on? He said to them, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God, and all the people. I mean, he was working with them. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to deliver himself alone. He did. We saw all this today. It's the third day since these things happened. Stop there. Go back. You know, if I rose like that, where do you think I'll go? You know where I would go? I don't know about you. I'm going to White House. I'm going to Buckingham Palace. But boy, I'll get angel with the blasting of trumpet. But Jesus went to ordinary people. He always loved to be with us. Maybe you are coming to church over here, you don't have enough money. Jesus is with you. Maybe you are here, you have some struggles in your life. Jesus is with you. It's not with the high and the mighty. Let's keep reading quickly. I want to finish this story so we can go home. Yes, a certain woman of her company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. They confused us. These are disciples. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen the vision of angel who said he was alive. I love Jesus. Look at this verse. And certain of those who are with us went to the tomb and found it just as you might have said, they didn't see Jesus himself. Next verse. Then he said to them, Eyin oponu, oponu, olodo rabata. And slow, he diagnosed their problem. That's your problem. Slow to believe. My wife comes home. She will say, dear, have you noticed things have gone up in price? So I said, that's always been the story since I've been living in this town. My wife never came on and said, things have come down crashing. I said, tomato once in a while. Hey, Baba. My heart will jig like that. Then after a while, I came to see that will keep on jigging like that forever. Then my heart came and said, this year is different too. Woman, am I correct? She said, this year is different too. Then you don't know me. It was different then and 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 different then. And Jesus helped me. He will see, help me with this different one and different one and different one and different one. Slow. Slow. Tell your neighbor, don't be slow. Tell him, be slow to fight. But don't be slow to believe. Let's stop here. Our time is gone. Go back. Okay, now, next verse. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Let's keep reading quickly. Our time is gone. And beginning, this is where I want to be. I'm beginning at Moses. So Jesus, on that way, not holding Bible in his hand, he said, let's go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. What's the next book? Joshua, Judges. Next book? Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. What's the next book? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm. Next book. And went through step by step by step and showed them about himself in all these books. So Christ is on every page. Clap your hands for Jesus. Woo! If there was any meeting, prof, if there was any meeting I want to be in this meeting. because when I get to Leviticus, Oman Sumio, how about you? Or caught one arm of animal, wave the sea of Jesus, where are you there? Are you in the arm or in the leg? Huh? Whoa! He began to show them. Many of you don't enjoy the Bible because you don't see Jesus there. Jesus is every page. Hey, boy, I don't have to stop this. This is my salvation point. Jesus rose from the dead. And he didn't rise from the dead with sick mind. He didn't rise from the dead with half body. Omnipotent, omnipresence, omniscient, omni everything. Let's look at next verse and stop. We'll stop, we'll continue next week. Hopefully. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he saw that he would have gone further. So Jesus was very gentlemanly, am I right? I mean, think about that. He's the only person I know that knocked at the door of his house. He said, behold, I'm knocking at the door. In my house, I don't knock. I bang the gate when I'm coming. Boo, boo, boo. Who's there? Emini. And what's the gate? I. You don't ask me in my house. I don't say, Mr. Reverend Amosu. No, I am. But Jesus stopped at the gate of the house. Behold, I'm knocking. If any man open, Matthew, that's why he's so slow. God is so good. He put up with us. Can you clap your hands for him? He knows us. He knows you. He knows me. And he said, he didn't want to barrage into their life. He said, let's keep on going. The next verse. And they said to him, next verse quickly. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is fast spent. And he went in to stay with them. Wow. And what happened next? Something happened that I love. That came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Now, they've been around for 3.5 years. Pastor Ken is over there. His wife is beside him. That's some mannerism of your husband I never knew. That when you see him doing that, you know that's my husband. So they saw Jesus, they have eaten together for several years. And they saw him the way he took the bread, the way he broke it. Next verse. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. The way he took bread, the way he broke it. You know what I'm glad about that? You know, I don't know today. You know what I like about that? Not about how he split heaven, how he broke bread, food, provision, sharing with them. I know foodstuff are expensive now, but it's in your house. He's going to break bread with you. And you know when he broke that bread, he multiplied it. You won't stop lacking. You won't stop having food. You won't stop. Tell yourself, I will not stop having food. If Gary becomes 100,000, Pastor, you must buy him. Hallelujah. Let's stop there today. I don't feel like stopping. We have to close the service. Oh boy. So we need some more a little bit. So we need some more a little bit. So we need a little bit some more. So we? It's your fault for third service. Oh. Let's see a little bit some more. And they said to one another, do you know our heart born within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures? That's my prayer as a pastor, that when I'm teaching his word, your heart will burn. The fire will set up so you can go and do something with your life. They said, our heart born. Something happened to us. Something was glowing in us when he was talking on the road. They were tired and disappointed. After this, what happened? Look at next verse. And they rose up that very hour. Strength came to them. Life came and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. Hey, we met Christ on the road. They were screaming. They entered the house. And they also had their own testimony. The Lord has risen indeed as appeared to Simon. So they were all talking like that. And they told them about the thing that happened on the road. And it was known to them in the breaking of bread. And next verse. As they said these things, Jesus himself stood. This no longer Jesus we knew, but it's the same Jesus. Can you imagine? On the road, he was with them. Simon, he was with them. Woman, he was with them. And while we are talking about what you met, And he's here right now. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? He's here right now. He's here right now. How many of you have seen the hand of God these last few weeks? Can I see your hands up? God has moved in your life and do something. You got a testimony? He's here. That same one who gives testimony is here with us, talking through me now to you. Can you lift your hands and say, Jesus, we honor you today. Jesus, we honor you today. Thank you because you care about us. Thank you because you are sharing with us in the breaking of bread, in the life we live every day. You are alive and well. No matter what we face in life, we know we are going with you. Nothing, nothing is too difficult for you. We appreciate you at this moment. Now we are not going home alone. We are not facing our business alone anymore. Jesus is with us in the breaking of bread, in the tomb, when we are confused, when we are depressed, he's with us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands. Choir, let's come. Can you come? Let's sing the song. My Jesus, my Savior. You know the song? My Jesus, my Savior. Brother Peter, grab the microphone. Yes. Okay. Hallelujah.
I want to praise.
Yes, Lord.
Worth of your
hold on, hold on. Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. Let's start very well. Give us from the beginning again. My Jesus.
My Jesus.
My Jesus. My Savior.
My Savior.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
I want to praise
the wonders.
The wonders of your mighty.
Oh,
my comfort, my shelter.
My comfort.
You are
my shelter.
Say, Lord, you know how to turn things around. This is my few coins. Thank you that you are with us as a family. as individuals, as a husband, as a wife, as children, as workers, colleagues, business owner. You never leave, you never forsake. You are risen to stay with us forever. Thank you as we give our offering. We bless your name. You are the seed of God that was cast down, resurrected again. Thank you for taking our seed and putting life into it and multiplying back with divine harvest. Blessed be your name. Amen. Let's give our offering while the choir sings.
Yes, we do.
To the great I am. And we sing to you a new song. To the great I am. Father, let it rise
to you. Like he says,
to rise to you.
Let tears flow in.
Let it rise.
Let it rise to you.
Like incense.
Rise to you.
Like rain, pour it down. Let it
rise to you.
Let it rise.
Let it rise. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Please listen to the following announcement. Today by 5 p.m., ladies, we are coming together. We have a meeting. We want to talk. We want to learn on thriving in this present economy. We're going to do some practical stuff, listen to people that would enlighten us on what we can do more, to earn more, to get more. So please make yourself available 5 p.m. today. The meeting will just be between 5 and 7 p.m. And on Tuesday, by 9 a.m., we have a breakfast meeting for all those who are married. Strengthen your marriage breakfast. And the theme is morning sex and power. By 9 a.m. on June 18th, here.
And please. That will be. We also want to celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary, half an hour that time. So, and our birthday is Wednesday. So, we're going to cut our birthday cake in that same meeting. Now, you only eat cake, you're going to eat beautiful breakfast. So, let's come around on that. By 9 a.m., let's be here, it's Tuesday. And if you're married, of course, my husband's not around, come. My husband's not around, come. Both of us are not around, join us online. And maybe you're about to marry this year too. We welcome you as associate member. Hang around to listen. So plead with you, come around Tuesdays, holiday, 9 a.m. in the morning. Thank you very much.
Praise God. And all through the month of July, we're going to have worship experience on Friday, 6 to 7 p.m.
All just 1 hour.
Fridays in July. And we want to trust God for Exodus 23, 25 to 26. It says, yeah. Worship the Lord your God.
Hold on. Let them give us okay. The verse on the screen. NIV.
Exodus 23, 25.
This is what we are coming for in July. Every Friday in July. 5, 12, 19 and 26. All right?
It says,
yeah.
Worship the Lord your God and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry and be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. We're going to come do our part, just worship God, and see him do his part in our lives. And for the rest of this year, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's time to celebrate with all those who were born in the month of June. Can you quickly rise up on your feet? Our time is fast spent. All service are waiting. If we are born in the month of June, let the children come in and the teenagers too, please.
This place.
Just come forward. Just come forward.
Please come. My wife will join them too. The first service, don't worry, you join the first service, so relax. Please come quickly, our time is fast spent. Let's clap for them as they come. Let's clap for them. Thank you. June, I call them rain children, born in the midst of rains. Set forth your hands toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these wonderful lives. Thank you for keeping them all these years. Thank you for fulfilling your promises in their lives. We only ask you to do it much more than ever before in Jesus' name. The days ahead of them, the weeks, months, years ahead of them, let it be part of the best of their life in the name of Jesus. We ask that you keep them, provide for them, and preserve their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you come, Prof? Come and help us cut the cake. Can you just come this way?
Happy birthday.
Joe now.
To you.
You're looking so solemn.
Happy birthday.